Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church. The sermon today is for the week of November 1st, 2020. Sermon is from John chapter 12, verses 23 to 26, Humble Obedience. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. Amen. Our journey through the Psalms of Ascents started out with receiving correction in Psalm 120, where we saw it is good to be told when you're heading off track. As we continued through these Psalms, we were encouraged to stay on course by those who came before us. Their examples proclaimed that the Lord is faithful to keep his promises, so do not give up or lose faith, regardless of how bleak the circumstances may appear. Last week, we saw that Psalm 131 dealt with spiritual maturity. We are to come into God's presence not with pride or presumption for self-serving reasons, but in trust that God knows what he's doing and his ways are best. Today, being the first Sunday of the month, I want to focus our thoughts on communion and look at our Lord Jesus as he drew into the Father's presence, knowing his crucifixion was only days away. The Gospel of John, Chapter 12 begins with a clear time and location reference. It is only 6 days before the Passover, only 6 days before Jesus breaks bread and shares the cup with his disciples, telling them to remember his death until he returns. Then in the pre-dawn hours, Jesus is arrested and found guilty of crimes they deem worthy of crucifixion. He claimed to be the Son of God. John chapter 12, verse 1 tells us that when Jesus arrived in Bethany, he is the guest of honor at a dinner, along with his dear friend Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus' sisters are also there. Martha is serving, and Mary honors Jesus by anointing him with 500 milliliters of pure nard, a very expensive perfume, worth a year's wages. Her extravagance draws a criticism of Judas of Iscariot and the praise of Jesus. The next day is the event we refer to as a triumphal entry. That is when Jesus approached Jerusalem, and his followers and other Passover travelers placed him on a donkey and began to shout out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It was only after Resurrection Sunday that Jesus' disciples realized this moment had fulfilled biblical prophecy. John then tells us, in chapter 12, 17 to 19, that the incredible response to Jesus' arrival for the Passover greatly disturbed the Pharisees. They are quoted in verse 19 as saying, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now, John highlights this statement to introduce what happens next. We see in verse 20, some Greeks who had come to worship at the feast approach one of Jesus' disciples, requesting to meet with Jesus. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." This is in verse 21. We don't know any more about that request, except that John focuses on what Jesus said to his disciples. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified," in verse 23. What's the connection between the request from the disciples and Jesus' response? From this point forward, the followers of Jesus would come to see that God's plan in sending Jesus was not only to offer salvation to the Jewish nation, but to the entire world, all of humanity. The interest of these Greeks was a sign to Jesus that another prophetic promise was coming to pass. God was drawing the Gentiles to himself. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified," Jesus said. Something big is about to take place, something great. We lean in along with the first disciples, wondering what that will be. Listen carefully. This is very important, but not what most of us expect or want. Listen to John chapter 12, verses 24 to 28. Jesus begins with special emphasis. Some translations would say, "truly, truly," or "verily, verily." The NIV begins with, "very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The illustration that Jesus uses in verse 24 is easily understood and visualized. It's common sense when applied to wheat or barley or corn, but it takes a whole different application when it is applied to human beings. Jesus is not only foreshadowing his death and resurrection, as we see in verses 27 and 28, but he also speaks to us, speaks to those who wish to be his disciples. We see this in verses 25 and 26. Jesus has repeatedly taught his disciples about humility, that those who wish to be the greatest must be the least, like a child. In John chapter 20, this now includes being willing to let go of their life, according to what this world says is important. I'm reminded of Psalm 131 and its picture of a contented, weaned child, safe in its mother's arms. This is a picture of someone who has released themselves to God's care rather than fussing and demanding they get their own way. As we prepare to celebrate communion and remember our Lord's death, we remember that his death was an act of submissive obedience to the will of his Father. In doing so, Jesus honors his Father, and he himself is glorified. His willingness to face death, take the shame and the pain and the punishment that we deserved, breaks the power and grip of sin and opens the door for us to receive eternal life. Jesus' submission to death, like a seed, has produced a harvest of which we who have accepted him as our sin forgiver and life leader are a part. Today, as we prepare to celebrate communion, remember, this is Jesus' table. He is the host. He is present. And it is our Lord's table. Where do you stand with him? John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus says, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Are you following Jesus? Are you allowing him to wean you off of your self-centered attitudes to focus on loving him and loving others with the same intensity you love yourself? Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. Are you following Jesus? Are you serving him? Are you going where Jesus is at work around you and joining him? He will provide what you need if you step out in faith with him. Jesus' understanding of being glorified turns the world's definition on its head. It's not about making oneself comfortable, famous, or powerful. It is about doing the Father's will. Will you join Jesus in using your life to glorify God the Father? Let's close this time together by saying the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our benediction is from Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Now I am putting you in the care of God, and the message about his grace. It is able to give you strength, and it will give you the blessings God has for all his holy people. Amen. God bless you.